Well, let's pray and we'll get into the Word. Lord, we come before you. We thank you so much for this night. I ask that you'd fill me with your Spirit, and I ask that we'd hear exactly what you want us to hear tonight, Father, and that all of us would just be ready for the battle that you have for us, Lord. So just give us this night to glorify you in Jesus' name. How many of you have ever been in battle before? You've been in battle? What kind of battle? Spiritual, yeah, spiritual. Any other battle? A lot of people have been in a lot of battles, spiritual warfare, all that kind of stuff happens, right? We're going to be talking about spiritual warfare tonight, so she hit it right off. So we're going to talk about what Ephesians talks about in spiritual warfare, and we're going to talk about how to apply those tools so that we can battle the war that we're in, realizing that it really is spiritual warfare. It's not just something that easy. So our base scripture will be Ephesians chapter 6. But before we get started, I want to kind of set the tone and show you how so many times when we're not really equipped and we think we're tough and we're not equipped with the proper tools to serve the Lord. And this is kind of how we look. If you could put this first slide up. That's how we look, right? Recognize him? He's Italian, so I know who he is. Okay, or if you're a woman, you might look like this. Okay, so, well, I'm ready to battle. Okay, you're ready to battle, but what Satan looks at when we're like this, what Satan looks at us when we're like this and we're not prepared properly with the proper tools, he looks at us and this is what we really look like. That's my grandson. Isn't he cute? I like, oh, he is. He's a good-looking kid. Takes after his grandmother. Good thing. Because it doesn't take after me. Anyway, but that's really, you know, we're sitting there, we're going to go battle the enemy. And we think we're all tough, and that's what we look like. But this is what we're supposed to look like. Now, you notice, he doesn't look stronger than the other two warriors, does he? But he's got the proper tools to battle in the spiritual warfare that we're involved in every day as Christians. There's so many things going on around us that we have no clue what's happening day to day. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about how to battle the enemy, and we're going to use the base scripture out of Ephesians chapter 6, and I'm going to go through basically verses 10 till 18, and then we're going to talk about some practical things as we do each month on how to make sure that we're doing it the Lord's way. So in Ephesians 6, starting with verse 10, the word says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." We're exhorted to be strong in the Lord, right? Not strong in ourselves, as we saw there. It doesn't matter how strong I am in me. George is strong. No, I'm not strong at all if I'm not strong in the Lord. If I don't have his power, if I'm not using God's tools, I'm going to be wiped out because I'm fighting Satan and his demon and the enemies. So we need to be strong in the power of the Lord. We are responsible for putting the full armor of God on there too. So it's not just like, well, okay, I'm just going to go do battle. You go out and do battle without the armor on, you're in big trouble. What if our as we talked about earlier, what if our soldiers in Iraq went out and they just went out in their jammies to do battle versus having their full armor on and having their weapons and having their shields? We as Christians need to know we have to have our armor on. We have to be able to battle properly in order to win the war that's before us. And it says about doing it with all urgency. We can't wait. Well, okay, I'll do that mañana. No, you won't. You do it today. I shared last month, you know, we need to be prepared before we get out of bed because the war is happening. The war is happening spiritually even at night while you're sleeping. But when you get out of bed, you need to be prepared to fight that battle to be able to win in the Lord. The purpose for putting on the full armor is to be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. He's our adversary, and that's why we need the armor to realize it's a spiritual battle. 1 Peter 5:8-9 says, "Be sober, be vigilant. because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking who he will devour. Resist him, steadfast in faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by the brotherhood in the world. So it's nothing new. We're all being buffeted by the enemy. He seeks out to take us out, right? He walks around like, the key is it's here, it's like a roaring lion. You know, the bottom line is if you have the full armor on, you know the best he could do? He could gum you to death. Because you're in full armor of God. He's trying to get you, but he could only gum you to death. It's mainly when we let that armor down that we're in trouble. Who gets taken out by the lion in the pack? Who is it? The weakest one, exactly. So as we're weak, as we let our guard down, as we let our armor down and we're not strong in the Lord, he's going to get us. So we need to constantly putting on the armor of God, constantly be making sure we're ready to battle the battle God's way and not our way, not in our flesh, but in God's way. It says we are not to attack, but we're to stand firm. So I promise you the battle's going to come to you. You don't have to say, well, where do I go? No, the battle's going to come. Stand firm. Continue to move in the Lord. Continue to do what God's called you to come. When the enemy comes, when the battles come, be ready to fight them off. Hold the territory that God's given you. When it says next, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness for this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. This is talking about, it's like a hand-to-hand combat is on to death. How many of you ever wrestled, were wrestling? When you wrestle, you're pooped by that third round, aren't you? If you're given it all, you're pooped. Or as we talked about our men in Iraq and women in Iraq that are serving, they're pooped at the end of the day. How about Ultimate Fighting? It's not. It's way worse than that. We think that that's something. No, this is like literally hand-to-hand combat is on to death. We need to realize that the enemy doesn't give up. He wants to take you out. He wants to have you fighting your spouse. He wants to have you doing the wrong things. So you need to constantly make sure your armor is there and you're battling the enemy, that he doesn't give up. He's like that roaring lion. Are you weak? What's your weak area? You let it down, he's going to go after you. So don't let down. Keep your guard up at all time. Mark 14:38 says, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. Our flesh gets weak, don't we? We get tired and we don't want to do it. But the Bible also says that two are better than one, doesn't it? And that's where it comes in, where we protect each other and we support each other. If one's weak or having a hard time, are we praying for them? Are we lifting them up? Are we helping them to do the right thing? Does that make sense? Can we do that? Yes. Should we do it? Yes. Let's do it. So we'll make sure that we're lifting each other up in that. In Psalm 97:10, it says, you who love the Lord, hate evil, he will persevere the souls of the saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked one. Again, it's God that will deliver us out, but we need to make sure we're doing our part by being in the Word, being there full of the armor and doing the things God's called us to do. One commentary talking about this battle. Okay, I'm Italian from Chicago, so this really hit me good, okay? One commentary said it's like the spiritual mafia. Now, if you think of the mafia, if you've crossed the mafia, they don't let up, do they? They're constantly going after you till you die. So if you look at it as the spiritual mafia, which would mean the enemy never gives up. He's like that roaring lion and he doesn't stop. He's going to continually go after you. So we need to remember that. 2 Thessalonians 2:8-9 says, and then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the works of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Remember, he's a liar. And he comes with weird signs, and he comes with power. So don't think that you could battle him in your flesh. You need to battle the enemy in the spirit. You need to be prayed up in the Spirit. You need to make sure you're praying for your spouse in the Spirit. You need to make sure that you're doing it together as a team and not by yourself. Now back in Ephesians verse 14, it says, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness." The belt of truth doesn't refer to the gospel. It refers to subjective truth of the believer's integrity and faithfulness. The breastplate of righteousness, it refers to sanctification and righteousness of Christ practiced in the believer's life. There's a scripture that I use quite a bit, and that's understanding how we're supposed to walk and how we walk in righteousness, and that's Philippians 2, 1 through 8. So I'm just going to read it to you real quickly again. "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other higher than himself. Let each of you not look out only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal to God, but made himself of no reputation. He humbled himself, taking the form of a bondservant, serving, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross." Now you talk about humbly serving in love. That's what our attitude needs to be as we serve each other, a humble servant to the Lord. Then it talks about the breastplate. As a soldier's breastplate protected his chest from the enemy's attacks, so sanctification, righteous living, guards a believer's heart from the assaults of the devil. So we need that breastplate also. Back in Ephesians 6:15, it says, "Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace." This verse refers to the believer's stability. How, you know, I like to use this even when you're talking about body ministry. We're talking about everybody in the body has a ministry and is important. Does that make sense? When we talk about 1 Corinthians 12 and so on. So body ministry, it doesn't matter what you're doing. Are you serving the Lord? And it relates to your body. I like to say, okay, what happens when you're walking and you have your shoes off and you stub the little toe? Yeah, you go down and grab that toe, right? That part is really important. So we need to make sure that every part is important and that we humble ourselves to make sure that we're doing the right things to be bound together in the Lord. And it's stable through our feet. If our feet get messed up, we can't stand straight. Once that toe's hurt, what are you doing? Right? You're limping or you're wrapping that toe or whatever. We need to make sure that we're stable in the Lord. It says in verse 16, "Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy." The shield is a Roman soldier's attire was made of wood. It was about 2.5 feet wide and 4 feet long. It was overlaid with linen and leather to absorb fiery arrows. It was to protect the other pieces that he had of armor. The idea is that the Christian's faith in the Lord can stop and extinguish all the fiery flames and arrows from the evil one. So if we have that and we have faith in God, we can protect ourselves knowing that God can protect us from all that's coming at us. In verse 17, it says, "And take up the helmet of salvation, which is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." The helmet of salvation refers to the present safety from the devil's attacks. It also refers to future deliverance, the hope of salvation. We have the hope of salvation, so that helps us to know, hey, we're not going to be here forever. I can get through this. You know, Christ is coming. This is a temporary dwelling place. We're going to be with Christ in the future. Then it talks about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Can we do anything without the Word of God properly? No. It refers to preaching the Word. It refers to making sure that we're speaking through the Holy Spirit. Remember Christ when he was tempted three times? What did he use? Scriptures. He used the word of God. He said, no, that's not true. This is what God's word says. So if we don't know the word, we can't battle properly either. So we need to make sure we're constantly reading the word and learning more about Christ so that we could battle properly in that too. In John 17:17, it says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Do we, you know, the old saying is all is, I forgot, so never mind, it doesn't matter. But one thing we know is true, and that's God's word, right? We're to test all things by God's word. That's how we know if something's true or not for our lives and for what we should be doing. So test all things with the truth of the word of God. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and the joints and marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Why? Because as you read the word, you're understanding what you should and shouldn't do, don't you? The Proverbs, has anyone ever gone through the Proverbs, every one of them, all 31 of them? One of the things I'd like to do a lot of times is go through the Proverbs, and whatever day it is, like today is the 6th, read Proverbs chapter 6, the whole thing. And then the 7th, read 7. The 8th, read 8. There are such practical things for protecting ourselves, for doing the things God's called us to do, and not doing the things we're not supposed to do. It's just practical. So the word of God is just so important. Look for what you could do to make sure you're in the word constantly and filling yourself with the word and not other stuff that we shouldn't be filling ourselves with. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped in every good work. What is that telling us? Where are the answers for us? No, God's word. It's in God's word. But all of the scriptures are given. It's inspiration by God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for correcting one another, for instruction. What should we do to be right with God and be righteous with God? It's that we might be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You want to be thoroughly equipped for every good work? Know God's word. Well, not just know it, but apply it. Because you know what? Satan knows God's word, doesn't he? We need to know God's word and apply it right. Philippians 4, 8, 9 says, finally, brethren, whatever are things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whether things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good rapport, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And the things you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, this is Christ speaking, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. So as we learn the things that God wants us to do and understand his word, we're going to, when we become Christians, we don't become sinless, but we sin less. Does that make sense? We sin less because now we're going to be following God's word more. And the more we apply God's word, the more we'll understand that and do that. Back in Ephesians verse 18, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ. We're to be constantly in an attitude of prayer. How many of you don't even have to raise your hands, but are constantly in an attitude of prayer? What is the first thing you think about when there's a problem? Do you go to prayer? Or do you get wigged out? Do you go to your flesh? Do you punch the wall? Do you do something you shouldn't? We need to be constantly not anxious about anything, but making sure that we have an attitude of prayer and we're asking God for guidance through that. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 and 18 says, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It's His will for us to give thanks in everything. We're, you know, how many of you are thankful you have air conditioning tonight? Or we're in an air-conditioned room right now? Really, I mean, you know, we could just take things for granted so easily. You know, we were Del and I were talking about that. It's so easy to take things for granted because we're so blessed. Then when the air conditioner's off, do we say, well, thank you, Lord, that I even have an air conditioner that I could fix? You know, we have to, what's that? Somebody have a comment? Are you saying amen or rah-rah? But it's true, even in this temperature, if it breaks, you probably could get it fixed someday. The car breaks down. Thank God that you have a car that you can fix someday to get where you need to go. We need to be thankful in everything. And when we're praying without ceasing, then we'll be ready for the battle too, right? Because we'll be prayed up. If we're praying, we'll be saying, God, help me to do the right thing when the next bad situation comes or when, you know, I'm tempted in by the enemy on all occasions. There's an old saying from years ago, and I don't know if you guys have ever heard it, but it's get on your knees and fight like a man. Have you guys ever heard that before? That's how we really need to fight. We want to go out and just do stuff or say stuff. Well, before you do that, stop. Get on your knees and pray. Am I doing the right thing? Am I saying the right thing? Am I making sure I'm going to be doing this in a godly way versus in the flesh? I want to share something. A lot of people, when you're talking about spiritual warfare and demons and spiritual things, they ask a lot of a Christian could be demon-possessed. How many of you ever thought of that question? Or nobody. You guys all have the answer? Can I have one of you guys come up and explain it to me? No. No, but it's a valid question. You know, we think, can a demon be Christian? That's what I say. Okay. And that's what I say. Instead of can a Christian be demon-possessed, I ask, can a demon be Christian-possessed? That sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? The fact is, as a Christian, you can't be possessed. You can be oppressed. You can get oppression by the enemy. You could feel distracted, crushed by the enemy. But you can't be possessed if you're really a Christian. You can't be possessed by Satan or his demons. Just like a demon's not going to be possessed by Christ or a Christian. Does that make sense to you guys? Yeah. It's a real important thing that, oh no, I think I'm demon possessed. No, you're not, but you might be being oppressed. You're being attacked by the enemy. Now put up your guard, put up your wall, and don't let the enemy take you down any further. We're going to take Della's going to come up at this point, and we're going to give you a practical kind of demonstration of spiritual warfare, and then she wanted to share some things. In Psalm 127, 1 and 2, it says, unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards a city, the watchman stays awake in vain. So it's real important to understand, again, when you're building your house, you need to build it in the Lord. You need to build it on the foundation. You need to spiritually know it's spiritual warfare. Does that make sense to you guys? This is not lightweight stuff. And we could take 1 week on each of these topics and go in depth. But the bottom line is, put your armor on, look more in depth if you need to know about it, and get ready for what the Lord has for you. Okay, so we're talking about, Della and I are here. This is my beautiful wife, Della, if you don't know her. 42 years we've been partners. Okay, so here's a partner team. Spiritual warfare is coming. We're full of the armor of God, and we're ready to go, right? And now we're mad at each other, and we're going, guess what happens? The fiery darts are hitting me in the back and hitting her in the back. Wait a minute. We're supposed to be a team. We're supposed to be partners. Well, let's get back to back. Okay, now the same scenario. The fiery darts are coming. The enemy's coming. Whoa. Oh,
incoming.
Thank you. Here comes another one. Oh, I got that one. Don't get Della. I'll get you. I mean, it seems weird, but we have fun anyway. But the bottom line is, that's how you're supposed to be. The enemy wants you fighting each other. The fiery darts will hit you. They will nail you. They will get you. But if you're back to back, when things come up, when something arises that nails you, you're going to be protected. No, 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 wait a minute. This is from the enemy, and you're going to be able to protect yourself from it. Adela's going to share a couple things at this point.
Yeah, I just wanted to share a fairly recent battle that we had. I don't know, I probably wasn't having it close enough. I'm not used to talking into a mic, so, and this is out of my comfort zone, so bear with me. When George first took on the responsibility that he was going to be teaching this study, he was figuring out what he was going to say and putting that study together. And a few days before the first Friday that he was going to teach, I was so irritable. I was so annoyed. I was so grumpy.
And I could feel it.
Yeah, and it was way out of proportion to any circumstance that we were having. It was just totally weird. And I was walking down the hall grumbling, and it just hit me. It was like the light turned on. Oh my gosh, I've just allowed myself to be a pawn of the devil. This is spiritual warfare. My husband's about to be used. And what is his Achilles heel? It's me. Because our relationship isn't good, if we're at each other or there's some problem that we're not working out, it deflates his spirit, it ruins his focus. He can't, he would be totally hindered by being to be used by the Lord. And it was, but the most amazing thing was, I realized that, I stopped in my tracks and I prayed. I said, oh, no, Lord, this is not going to happen. I'm not going to allow myself to be a pawn for the devil. I'm going to help my husband and be an encouragement to him. And it was the most vivid experience I'd ever had, that it was gone like that. I was suddenly cheerful. It was amazing.
And I thought, felt it too.
Yeah, and he did. It was like, I came down the hall, he goes, it's like, oh, it's a different woman. Yay. there's been spiritual battles. We've been Christians for a long time. We've been married for 42 years. So there's been battles. But that was the most vivid experience I ever had of being, you know, feeling like an oppression or whatever, just being used by Satan, really, because I had let my guard down, and that the scripture says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And as soon as I called on the Lord, it was done. And that was amazing. But I do also want to say that just because you're in a bad mood or you're being sarcastic or you're not cooperating, or it's not always a spiritual battle. Sometimes it's just because we're sinners.
Amen.
You know, we're tired. We're hungry. We're hot. You know, we're not. And my daughter told me this little story that she was explaining to her daughter, our granddaughter, who's not quite five at the time. And she was explaining to her that the devil would want to make her do bad things. And my granddaughter looked at her and said, oh, Mommy, I don't need the devil to make me do bad things. I can do that all by myself.
She's 5 years old.
And I thought, oh, out of the mouth of babe. She already understands the sin nature.
But it's true, you know, that spiritual warfare, but sometimes we say the devil made me do it. No, you were just being stupid. I mean, it's the truth. Come on. Don't let your guard down. Don't just let this thing happen. There's not a demon behind every bush. We have responsibility for what we're doing. But does the enemy then take that and take it to the next level? He'll take that little thing that happened, and now the next thing you know, we could have been in a full-on fight. Mm-hmm. Instead, the enemy was defeated. Now, what she says is just so true. For me, years ago, I used to be on staff with Pastor David Rosales, about 25 years ago. And I would do biblical guidance. And there was one night, Della and I had a disagreement. And I went to do counseling for this married couple. And I walked in and I thought, Della and I need to make sure everything's okay. Because I can't sit there and share with this couple about marriage and problems if we have problems. So I said, excuse me a minute. And I walked in the other room and I called her. I said, are we okay? She goes, yeah, we just had a little argument. And we did. It wasn't that big of a deal. But to me, it's so important to make sure our relationship is right, because when your relationship's not right, that's when part of your armor's down. That's when the enemy starts attacking you and getting you. Amen? He does. So just don't let that happen. Another thing I wanted to talk about is I was teasing that you call it water cooler talk, right? And you're talking with the opposite sex at the water cooler, and you shouldn't do that. And properly, you shouldn't do that. I was teasing because at our church, we have a refrigerator, and we don't have a water cooler, but you put your water bottle in the refrigerator and put it in. So I said, refrigerator talk. Mm-hmm. It's just different. But it doesn't matter where you work. It doesn't matter what you do. The enemy wants to mess you up, and he wants to just come and take you out and divide your marriage. And so I want to give a couple examples of that for me. As many of you know, that I was a reserve officer for 15 years with Chino, full uniform, yada, yada, yada. But it was about 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'm going to get something to eat. And there's this gal behind the counter that says, "Hey, what time do you get off?" I go, "Why are you asking?" She goes, "Well, maybe you could pick me up and we could go, you know, do something." I'm like, "Well, I'm married. I'm going to go home and see my wife. And also, you see these, I've got a gun, but you see these crosses on my collar? I'm also a chaplain." She goes, "Doesn't matter to me." It doesn't matter. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter who you are. One of the pastors, Pastor David's office is across from my office. And he told me this week, he said, "I need to make sure you're in your office at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning." I go, "Okay." He says, no, listen, my wife knows this gal I'm going to be counseling, and he's really concerned because of how she's acting. So I'm going to have my door wide open. I want your door wide open. And I want to make sure that, you know, everything's cool. And if anything's weird, you know, that's making sure your armor's gotten, you're protected, right? Everything was cool and everything went well. But to share a story with that, years ago when I was counseling a gal that was a reserve officer. And when I counsel, I always say, this is what Della would do in that situation. This is how she would handle that. This is the right way to do that, and this is what Della would do. So I'm constantly bringing the relationship with my wife in it. Well, the next Sunday, after I was counseling with this gal about 3 weeks, I saw the gal, and I introduced her to Della. And as soon as she walked away, she goes, "I don't trust her. Uh-uh. No, no. I don't trust her.
I think I said it quite
well." No, but that's what it felt like to me. But bottom line, it did, because she doesn't do that. Yeah. I mean, it was like, and it was at least 20-some-odd years ago.
I was like, "You need to have your guard up with that one."
And I'm thinking, I told her, I said, "Look, all I do is talk about you and how you should this and that and the other." So here I am now, a pastor, sitting in my office the next week with her, and she's talking to me. She's married, too. And she says, "I think I need to get a divorce, and you and I need to get together." And I'm flashing to what Della's like, "Oh my gosh, I totally did not see it coming." And I said, "You got to be kidding me." She goes, "No." I go, "Listen to me. First of all, I'd never do it. But second of all, if I did that, everything you respect in me, everything you think is wonderful about me is thrown out the window. So how could you even think that way?" "Oh, if you left her and were with me, it would be different." Oh my gosh. To me, that's demonic. That's just demonic stuff. Here, you're a pastor counseling. And so my point with that is, brothers and sisters, I don't care what you do for a living. I don't care where you go. I don't care what's happening in your life. Keep your guard up. Because your devil, the adversary, seeks out like a roaring lion who he could destroy. Do affairs ever happen when the husband and wife have a wonderful relationship? Very rarely. I mean, I can't think about it. You have a great relationship, you're protecting it. It's when your guard's down, when you have a bad relationship, when things aren't going good. So keep your marriage strong. Keep yourselves bound together. Anything you want to say on that?
No.
Okay.
No, I do.
Good.
Hey, it's impromptu. My brain's a little slow, I guess. I wasn't ready to jump on it. I want, as married couples, you have to remember that you're a team. And that you're on the same team. And also to realize that your spouse, and Satan already knows this, that your spouse can be your Achilles heel, as I knew that I could be to George. The easiest way for him to get to George is through me. If I don't have my guard up, if I'm not ready to go to prayer and to, you know, have the scripture ready, and he can get to me, it's going to get to him. And the same thing, if he got to George hurting, I don't know how, if probably you guys mostly feel this way, that I can take an insult, but don't
don't insult my husband. And for him, he would rather someone insulted him, but don't come after me. So we're protective of each other, and so that also creates an opportunity for Satan if our spouse is letting down and not being not being vigilant about spiritual warfare. It just gives him an in to get to the other person. So he can take down two of us with just going with after one.
And in reality, he takes down way more than two, doesn't he? Your whole family goes down, all your friends and relatives go down, all the people that looked at you and the Lord, they go down along with it. I can't believe that. You know, I can't tell you how many people have said to Dell and me, if your marriage ever had problems, I think there's no hope for any marriage. Mm. Now, that's a blessing. It's also a high responsibility, and we take it as a high responsibility, and you should. You should take it as, I want to be representing Christ well. I want to make sure that nothing comes between us. And so listen to each other, as she's saying. Hey, if your wife or husband says, you know, I think, don't just say, oh, nonsense. No, put your guard up, put your wall up, and have extra guards up for that. Another area we're thinking about is things like the TV and the radio. There's a thing, I don't know if you ever heard in the computer terms, it's called GIGO, garbage in, garbage out. Yeah, so many times we say, well, the computer gave me all this bad data. And unless it's a corrupt file, it's because you were corrupt and put junk in it. Does that make sense? So if I'm listening to bad music and bad stuff, or I'm watching stuff that's not edifying, how could I not expect that that's going to corrupt me? Mm-hmm. And in that, listen to your spouse if they say, you know, again, we need to speak the truth in love to each other, but we need to give each other permission to speak the truth in love. Amen? Amen? I mean that. Listen, there's a saying that I use a lot, nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. You guys need to make sure you know that you care for each other a lot. Della can say anything to me like, you know, I don't think we should rent that movie. We go to Redbox and that's our date night, pop some popcorn and $1.52, and we have a great night together at home in our pajamas too. But it's like we could go, and it's like we're at Stater Brothers. It's like, no, that's. I've read a review on that. And da 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 da. Don't just say, oh, you're killjoy. No, we're protecting each other. Mm-hmm. Protect each other in that. Make sure your guard's up in that. Whether it's music coming into the house or your ears, whether it's the TV or whatever you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Internet. Yeah. Amen. That's the next thing we're going to talk about. Yeah. The internet. Yeah. I had my phone. I'd show you it, mm-hmm. but the internet. If you have any temptation to going to wrong sites, put blocks on your phone. Does that make sense? You know what those are? And be accountable to one another. Mm-hmm. Again, you're a team. You're supposed to be back-to-back protecting each other. So I'm having temptation. Okay, well, what can we do to stop that temptation to make sure that we're pure together? Mm-hmm. I'll tell you something. Almost 4 years ago, I had a heart attack and almost died. I was so glad that my wife had all my passcodes, and there's nothing that I'm afraid for her to see on it. Does that make sense? I'm telling you, some of the most tragic things I see is a family in crisis because somebody had a major medical problem, and how they found out that their spouse is cheating on them is by they had to go through the device to get bank codes or passcodes, and then they see all this garbage. And it's a temptation that you've got to make sure you block, and you got to make sure you're back-to-back and honest with each other that we're not going to let this infiltrate our marriage. We're not going to let it come in. You want to say anything about that?
Just that one of the best checks and balances for that is to be open that we have access to each other's phone. We have access to each other's computer, and we don't try to keep it private because we're a team. And everything should be shared. And I shouldn't have to have it shouldn't have to be private. What am I doing that he's my partner in life? He should be able to know everything that I'm doing, and vice versa. There shouldn't be secrets between us. So,
yeah, and I won't ask to raise hands, but I'm going to ask that if you have a spouse that's not allowing you to have access to their mm-hmm. codes to everything, mm-hmm. that you ask that person would give access to the codes. Or if there's a problem that you need to clean up, clean it up tonight. don't, you know, go home tonight and clean it up, purify yourself, make sure the walls and the guards are up so that your marriage can be healed. Don't think you could, you might be able to think you could hide that from them on the outward, but it's ruining your heart. It's ruining your marriage. It's ruining every aspect of that, whether you believe it or know it or not. Pornography kills. Adultery kills. You'd think, oh, it's no big. There are couples that want to watch porn together. Now, don't do it. The Bible talks about enjoying each other. Mm-hmm. I don't need to be a, what do they call it, voyeurism? Mm-hmm. I don't need to be a, I need to see. No, I need to see her. Mm-hmm. This is the person that God's given me to enjoy. And I'm the person God's given her to enjoy. And if you love each other, then you're going to enjoy each other and keep your eyes and your mind on each other in the right way. Mm-hmm. Did you have anything else you wanted to share? Nope. Okay. How about you guys? Talk to me or any questions or anything you guys want to share about spiritual warfare or battles or questions. Go for it. We're here. It's just us. Anybody have anything you want to share or even ask a question? How do I? What if? Now, don't embarrass your spouse here. If you have a private, honestly, listen to me real clearly. If you have something that you need to talk to me about that's personal that needs to be dealt with, do it afterwards, call the office and set an appointment with me. If you're having a problem with porn, if you're having a problem in your relationship, please call the office and see one of the biblical guidance counselors, one of us pastors, because we want to see your marriage whole. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't have time to do a whole biblical guidance counseling appointment tonight, but please, I mean this. If you've got problems, we want to help you get through it, so call the office and be healed. Don't let it mess you up. What? Oh, yes.
It's a question followed up with a question. First of all, were you guys saved when you got married?
Oh, boy. No, I was missionary dating.
Well, but we were, saved before we got married.
Right. Before we got married, yes, we were saved.
Yeah, I had not accepted the Lord when we were dating, but I was searching. And we started going to church and we went to Calvary Chapel. And I had never heard Bible study like that. I'd only heard, preaching, especially the asking of money and, just different things that had kind of turned me off. And that was very intriguing. And so we dated and I got saved and then we planned to get married.
Okay.
So.
Well, then with that answer then, since you were saved before you got married, mm-hmm. if there was one thing, because me and my girlfriend are dating right now, we're not married yet.
Good, thank you.
Before marriage, even if it included even other than premarital, if there was something that correlates with spiritual battles with two people, what do you wish you would have done differently or maybe have added on before you got married so you could carry that into your marriage that maybe stronger or strengthened or something like that?
It's kind of a personal question. No, I'm kidding. I think really, and I'll let you share also, but keeping the walls up, keeping the guard up because the enemy wants to mess you up. And even especially to me in the sexual area, because it's a natural. Any other singles that are dating here? Good. Okay, great. It's a natural progression if you love each other to want to move forward in the area of sexual aspects. You need to realize sex is wonderful and it's great in the context of marriage. Therefore, don't put yourself in a position where that temptation could ruin everything that God's doing in your life. Mm-hmm. That you've got a great relationship, you're praying together, you're doing whatever together, and now you've put yourself in a position where you're compromising. And now you might think, maybe I really am not supposed to be marrying this person because you've let down and you've let the enemy come in and caused you to do something that could totally destroy the spiritual aspect that God has with you. Mm-hmm. And if you've done that beforehand, repent again, stay pure, and be used in the Lord. Does that make sense?
Yeah. One of the important things is with spiritual or preventing spiritual warfare or making yourself vulnerable is making the wise choices to put up protections. And when I when we were engaged, the date was set. We'd put the deposit on an apartment, and he wanted to show it to me, and we went up there. It was just the two of us, and we said, we need to leave because this is not a good situation. And we did. We left because that...
The Italian in me was coming up.
Yeah, we said, oh, this is...
Well, I'm telling you from personal experience. Yeah. I needed to run. Yeah. She said, time to leave.
Yeah, so
this is
just
not going to go where we wanted
to
go.
So it's one of those things that we, trying to use wisdom to not put ourselves in that kind of a situation. We were really young, and it was innocent until we got up there, and it's like, this is not good, and we left. So a lot of times we end up making ourselves vulnerable because we've made a bad choice, and because we're human and we're sinners and we make bad choices. But don't ever forget that Satan will always want to take that opportunity.
Yep.
And he will take a little mistake, and he'd love to throw fuel on the fire and make it a big deal. So you just have to, be quick to go to prayer and be quick to flee a bad situation or a bad choice.
David did.
Yeah. So, yeah, we retreated.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So, and again, the real key is keeping the guards up, mm-hmm. and making sure you realize it's a spiritual battle. The enemy wants to ruin you guys, and he could ruin a wonderful thing that God has by in any way, but definitely in the area of sexual relationships, because it's a natural thing for that to progress. And I don't know if you were here the month I said the question was asked to me by my daughter and son-in-law before they got married. The question was asked, how far can we go? I mean, they were getting very close. How far can we go, Dad, before it's sin, before we get married? I said, that's a good question. You could do anything you feel comfortable doing in front of me. Does that answer your question? So you might be doing something that you shouldn't do and maybe think you need to back off. Because I could tell you, I did things I shouldn't have done before I got married. Mm-hmm. But knowing now, it's just not the right thing to do. It's not going to be good. It's not the thing you should do. So put that guard up, put the wall up. And be the other thing is listen to the other person. If they say, like Della said, we shouldn't be alone in the apartment that we're going to be living in a month and a half. Don't just say, oh, come on, let's go again. No, stay away. I had to go myself to do things. And then she'd go to set things up or we'd have people with us, mm-hmm. making sure we weren't alone. So just keep the wall up, keep the guard up, keep pure in the Lord. Any other questions? Or thoughts? I see that hand.
I would just, it was pretty profound about what you're saying about the Achilles heel. Mm-hmm. Can you briefly go over that again, real quick? On what did you mean by?
Well, your Achilles heel is, they talk about that being a weak spot. It wasn't covered by the Roman armor, and they knew that if they sliced that, they would lame the soldier and make him vulnerable. So I'm saying that because George cares so much about me and how I'm doing and how I'm feeling, if he feels that I'm angry at him or a problem, it really deflates him. It really bothers him. And so I feel, as I said, I likened it because of our theme. I'm like his Achilles heel in that if Satan knows if he can get to me, he can sideline him, and that he would be down for the count. And so that's, and the same thing, he could use George to really sideline me as well.
So the opposite of getting to the other Achilles heel. Mm-hmm. Like
yeah, I'm saying I'm his Achilles heel. Okay.
And so you protect, absolutely a positive. I shared a couple months ago that I know mm-hmm. I wouldn't be the man of God I'm today or as successful I am today without her. Mm-hmm. Without her support. And when I feel I don't have her support, or if she's upset at me, I honestly can't function well. That's just an absolute fact with me. Mm-hmm. We've got to be back to back. I've got to know that we're together. I've got to know that we're on the same page, or I can't function well. And if you could function well in your marriage while the other person's really mad at you, then honestly, there's something wrong with your marriage. Because you should have, if there's a problem, you should want to deal with it and not let it take you down. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions? Yes.
Just curious, you mentioned earlier, what is missionary dating?
Oh.
I was saved and she wasn't. Yeah. I should. And I didn't honestly know any better.
Yeah, we didn't.
Missionary dating would be, I'm a Christian and I'm going to find someone and get them saved.
Yeah.
No, if you're a Christian, find someone that's a Christian that you can lift up each other and so on. But honestly, I had no clue. I got saved immediately. It wasn't walking with God, but was had the conviction of the Holy Spirit, so I knew I was a Christian. But once I gave my heart back to the Lord, then I realized, uh-oh, she needs to become a Christian also, because I need to make sure we're on the same page and we're walking together in the Lord. So missionary dating is like, well, don't worry, they're not saved, but I'll get them saved.
Yeah.
You know, the way they usually explain that is, there's the one that's unsaved and you're the one up here. Who's going to go down first? It's easier for that one to pull the one down than the other one to pull them up. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Yes, sir. Uh-oh, I know you.
No, you don't. Everywhere now. Everywhere. No, I just wanted to make a comment.
Okay.
Basically, being from different cultural backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
We're high school sweethearts, and we've been married for a while. The love and respect.
Yes.
And just knowing the love language is really helping us out.
Good.
Figure things out, like where the crazy cycle is.
Thank you. How many of you know what the Love and Respect series is? If you don't, you can get it. It's wonderful. There's a book on it, and so on. It talks about, you know, knowing that you have to have love and respect with each other. And it talks about a crazy cycle. It talks about doing the right things. And we're both good-willed people, and we just want to do the right things and stuff. Did you want to say something about that? But thank you. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And we have Margaret Marcel as our counselor.
Okay.
And they gave us a huge foundation for our marriage. We were recently married a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to go through the program before we got married. Mm-hmm. And Calvary wasn't married anyways, so we went through the program.
There are rules.
So we went through like 7 months, 8 months.
Mm-hmm.
We went to it. It's our foundation.
Praise the Lord.
It taught us how to be Christians together. Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Thank you for sharing that. So if you're not married yet, please go through the program. For Della and myself, we got married in 1976, and our premarital counseling was with Jeff Johnson, and he came in and said, oh, so you want to get married, right? Yeah. Do you love each other? Yeah. Are you baptized in the Holy Spirit? No. Well, let's pray. And then we met one other time, and I don't even know what we talked about, but there was no such thing, honestly. When we got married, there was no such thing as a formal laying of a foundation of what a biblical marriage is. Praise the Lord, we loved the Lord and loved each other, and we learned and worked through it. But we wish we would have had that foundation at the beginning. So thank you for sharing that.
We did benefit from the fact that both of us came from solid families. As far as both of our parents were married for over 50 years. So, you know, and it was death that did that parted them. It was, you know, so they've stayed together. So both of us at least had an example of a functional marriage. So that helped. We got married very young. And like you said, our premarital counseling was pretty light. So,
to say the least. Yeah. Any other questions? Okay. Well, we'll be available if you have any other questions too. But, you know, I want to say, make sure you're prepared for the battle. Have your armor on. Do the right thing. And the other thing is, talk to other Christian couples that you trust, that you love. Be willing to say, hey, this is what's going on. Can you give us some guidance? We need each other. We're a family in that too. I want to ask that you all stand and join hands with your spouse or the one you're dating with. And I want to leave us with a song tonight.
In the face of fear, gotta keep breathing. When the negative is all you hear, gotta keep believing. 'Cause in the dark there is a light, truth that keeps on burning bright. Brave enough to fight the fight.
That you would make us warriors for you, but Lord, not in our own flesh, that we realize that we battle not against flesh and blood, but spirits and principalities. Help us to put on the full armor of God, to recognize the deception of the enemy, to realize that he seeks out like a roaring lion who he could destroy, Lord. So help us to be warriors. When we fall down, Lord, help us to get back up and not to stay down and not to be destroyed. So Father, we thank you for this night. We thank you for our lives. We ask that we would glorify you and shine forth your light in Jesus' name. Amen.